Go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 27. Father, now as we prepare our hearts to receive from your word, Lord, we didn't come to hear fancy and persuasive words of human understanding, but Lord, we need revelation that comes from you today. Reveal Jesus to us. Reveal purpose to us today. Reveal your plan. Reveal your will to us today. Holy Spirit, if there's adjustments that we need to be making in our life, reveal that to us. Lord, we know if you, and we know that you will, do your part. Make Jesus known to us today. Then we determine, we've decided already, that we will be doers of your word, not hearers only, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Picking up in the 15th verse of Matthew 27, we see now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife said to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather a tumult was arising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So the question today is, who's Barabbas? Often we just kind of gloss over that part of the story. We think maybe there's not much significance to that. It's just an interesting tidbit, just an interesting side note. But I really want to focus in on Barabbas today. Who was Barabbas? Matthew called him a notorious prisoner. Mark wrote that he was chained with fellow robbers. John simply called him a robber, which could also be translated bandit or revolutionary. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote about these revolutionaries that were at work at this time in Jerusalem. It was a militant Jewish movement that sought to subvert the Roman occupiers of their land by force. They thought they were going to throw them out by force. Perhaps Barabbas was part of this insurrection. You know, like us, perhaps Barabbas saw that there was an injustice going on in the world. He knew that men ought to be free and tried to take things into his own hands and do something about it. Not really unjust, but according to Roman law, unlawful. So we try to make Barabbas out into being this murderer or this thief or something else, but yet we really don't know. Scripture does not provide us those details. It's just as likely that he was part of these revolutionaries that were arrested. The one thing that we do know is that he was condemned to die. His name is interesting. Barabbas, son of the father, or son of the dear father. Whatever the case, the bottom line for Barabbas is he was condemned to be crucified. Judgment was pronounced upon him, and he was to die. But at this moment, when the authorities are trying to release Jesus because they know he's innocent, they know he's only there because of the religious leaders and their jealousy of him, and trying to get out of it, they said, okay, who do you want us to release? This revolutionary, perhaps a murderer, or this innocent man, Jesus? And we know that judgment was pronounced upon the innocent man, Jesus Christ, and Barabbas was released, and Jesus was crucified in his place. I want you to think about this fact today, is that you are Barabbas and that I am Barabbas. We are Barabbas, and Jesus was our substitute. The substitution of Jesus in the place of Barabbas illustrates the atonement of the Savior in the place of us all. Now, preachers like to use big words like atonement to make us feel smart and make other people feel less than. But atonement just means that your sins are forgiven and that they will not be held against you. In John chapter 3, we see the purpose of Jesus very clearly. A religious leader came to Jesus in the night, and Jesus told him that he must be born again. And we pick up that language in John chapter 3, verse 13, that no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. But Jesus said these words, that whoever, verse 15, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, we try to emphasize how terrible and how horrible and how despicable Barabbas is in trying to draw some contrast between the innocence of Jesus and how despicable Barabbas must have been. But again, let me just say, we don't know that. We don't know that he wasn't just trying to take things into his own hands and trying to undo an injustice that was being done to himself and to all of his people. I'm trying to humanize Barabbas a little bit. I want you to realize that you are just as likely to be Barabbas, and I'm just as likely to be Barabbas, because if we turn him into a murderer and a thief and all of those things that the Bible doesn't say, then we don't identify with him. But I want you to know that Jesus took Barabbas' place, but Jesus also took your place, and he took my place. And we were just as condemned to death as was he. Are you listening to me? He was condemned. And this was the reason that Jesus came into the world, not to bring further condemnation to people. We were condemned already. But Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not the one trying to condemn us and send us to some eternal judgment and damnation. He's the one sent to rescue us. God came to us as Jesus, and we killed him. In this violent action, we find our salvation. You see, in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For had they known, they would not have done it. It's in this action that we receive our eternal life, our salvation. John chapter 1, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." In 1 Timothy, Paul, looking back on what Jesus has done for us, wrote, "Who gave himself a ransom for all." In Hebrews, we read, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, listen to this, might taste death for everyone. 1 John 2:2, we have another high dollar preacher word. It says, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also the whole world." Propitiation means that it literally means the sacrifice that atones for our sins. To get an understanding of it, propitiation means this: God is satisfied. Justice is satisfied. Somebody or someone had to pay for sin. Either we pay that penalty ourselves, or that of a substitute. Propitiation says that justice is satisfied with the payment. Redemption means, to be redeemed means to be purchased from the slave market. We were slaves to sin. As such, we were condemned to death. Jesus' sacrifice redeems us from the curse of sin and death. And what Jesus did for us, we do not have to do for ourselves. Again, Romans 3 says, "For everyone has sinned. I am Barabbas. You are Barabbas." We were all under that same sentence of condemnation. We were destined to die, but someone who was innocent, Jesus, who was called Christ, the Son of God, took our place. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Can I ask you to do something today? Stop trying to prove yourself to God. Many years ago, after Michelle and I graduated from Bible college, we moved out to coastal North Carolina, and there we pastored a little startup church that was a lot smaller than this church and never, ever got to be as big as this church is this morning. And we were out there for about a year, year and a half, and of course there was not enough money in the offering to pay the bills of the preacher. You know, we could keep the rent paid and, you know, maybe supplement a little bit. So I worked full time in the grocery store and the Winn-Dixie. So, you know, I was really down in the South. All right. So the produce manager, I began, you know, talking to him about the Lord and his relationship with the Lord and all of that. And Skip, and he just said, "Well, man, I just got too much sin. I just got too much stuff." He said, "Man, I'm going to have to clean up my act before I come to God. I'm going to have to clean up my act before I, you know, can come to church and give my life to Jesus." I said, "Man, you have it so backwards. You have it completely inverted. You have it completely upside down. We don't clean ourselves up so God will accept us. Come on, somebody. We come just as we are. We are Barabbas. We're condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We were condemned already." I said, "Man, what you need to do is give your life to Jesus, and he does the cleaning part." Now, this is a little weird. This is where the story gets a little weird. So here we are one day, and this big produce cooler, you know, this big refrigerator in the back of the store. All of a sudden, he and I are in there working, you know, I don't know, lettuce or whatever. Next thing I know, the guy gets down on his knees. I'm like, ooh, this is getting weird. All right, you know, he goes, man, you got to pray for me. I got to give my life to Jesus right now. I'm like, okay, let's do this real quick before somebody comes in here. And I've got my hand on the guy's head. Come on, somebody. And he's kneeling. Just don't go there, all right? But he gave his life to Jesus. He gave his life to Jesus. I mean, you can't clean yourself up and then God accepts you. You are Barabbas. I am Barabbas. We need Jesus to clean us up, not the other way around. There's nothing you can do to impress God. I mean, for real, what are you going to do? Have you seen a sunset lately? Have you seen a sunrise? Has anybody been to the Rocky Mountains? What are you going to do to impress God? We're not in the business to impress God, but God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to take our place. He loved us so much, He didn't want to live eternity without us. So He did something about it. Some of the original manuscripts of Scripture state that Barabbas' full name was Jesus Barabbas. Isn't that interesting? Now, the church historians just could not reconcile that in their brains at all. They said, there's just no way we can give Barabbas the same kind of name as our Lord and Savior. And so all the manuscripts drop the name Jesus. Now, I can't prove or disprove that Barabbas was Jesus Barabbas, but I like to think so because it makes my sermon so much better if it is so. Whatever is true, Barabbas represents all of us. We're all under the same sentence of condemnation before the sacrificial action of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was condemned and punished in our place. Jesus paved the way for our entrance and acceptance into God's presence. John 20, Mary sees Jesus risen from the dead. And Jesus said to her, she turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which in Hebrew is translated teacher. And Jesus said, don't cling to me, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find your brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Because Hebrews 6 says this, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. He has become our eternal high priest. Reading on in Hebrews 10, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and living way through the curtain into the most holy place. Barabbas signifies each of us as individuals, sons of the Father, sons of the dear Father. And our elder brother stepped forward to be crucified in our place. Our Father loves us too much to leave us under the sentence of condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Jewish mob had the choice between two men named Jesus. They chose to free the enemy of the state and killed humanity's only innocent man. You have a similar choice today. To accept or reject salvation through Jesus Christ. Larry had a choice many years ago when life was bad, when life was unfair, when he was not getting what he deserved, when other people were letting him down and probably he was letting himself down. He had a choice. To get mad and frustrated and throw up his hands and curse God That's what they asked Job to do. But Job said, you know, can I just accept good things and not bad things? I'm not God. And in all those things, Job held fast to his integrity. And in the end, Job was restored and got double. Come on, somebody. And in the end, Larry was restored and got more than double. Are you listening to me? You have a similar choice today. I don't know the circumstances of your life. But I know this. Without accepting God's gift of eternal life through the substitutionary act of Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, you're condemned. But whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John chapter 1 says, but to all who believe Him and accepted Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God. They are not reborn, not by a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Man, almost 20 years ago, one of my very, very best friends, on Easter Sunday morning, gave his heart and life to Jesus. Absolutely, completely, on Easter Sunday, gave his life. Talked to him on the phone this week, and God has just blessed him and increased him. And best decision he ever made. There was a criminal on either side of Jesus. We have one cross on our stage, but really, there was three crosses, weren't there? One on the right hand and the other on the left. One would cry out mocking, if you're really the Son of God, save yourself and save us also. And the other cried out and said, hey, we're getting what we deserved. But this is an innocent man. And the other criminal said, Lord, would you remember me when you enter into your kingdom? And Jesus said to them, this day you will be with me in paradise. My question for you is, which criminal are you? The one that will mock and jeer? Or the one that says, remember me, Jesus? This would be the greatest day for you to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. To call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you haven't done. What you've neglected. All I know is we're all Barabbas. But if we accept what Jesus has done for us, we go free. And Jesus raises again from the dead and conquers death, hell, and the grave for all of us to make a way into God's kingdom. Are you ready to call on the name of the Lord Jesus today and be saved? If you are, would you just hold up your hand real high right now so I can see it all over the room? Who wants to give their life to Jesus today and call on the name of the Lord and be saved? If that's you, would you hold up your hand for me right now so I can just include you in a prayer very quickly right now at the end of the service? God bless you. You can put your hand back down. I know I've seen one hand, and it's very possible there'd be others, and we're going to rejoice over one. But we want to take just a moment, give you a chance. God bless you. Put your hand back down. Man, don't let fear, don't let intimidation, don't let the fact that you probably don't have every question answered today prevent you from beginning your journey. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, confess with your mouth that God raised Him again from the dead, you shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Put your hand back down. Yes, God bless you. Put your hand back down. Lord, you see these that have raised their hands today. Lord, you know what's going on in their heart and know what's going on in their life. And I pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that You see that, You hear that cry. And Lord, I just pray right now with all of their heart that they call on Your name and that You save them. Fact is, why don't we join together in a confession of our faith today? And if you raised your hand, please, at the end of the service, just give me a couple of minutes to meet you and greet you and set up a time where I can maybe talk to you further when we have a little bit more time during the week this week. But let's make this confession of our faith together. And let's all do this out loud. It'll give boldness and courage to those that raise their hands if they hear Your voice joining them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe in You. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You are the Son of God. That You died on the cross for my sins. And You rose again from the dead. I want You to be Savior and Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sin. Come into my life. Make me the person You want me to be. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for making me part of Your family. In Jesus' name.